I'll ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me once again now to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. I've entitled this message, "Is My Name Written in Heaven?" Is my name written in heaven? I'm actually going to be looking primarily at verses 17 to 20, but I just bring us up to that point. Verses 1 and 2 of Luke 10 says, "After these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before His face into every city and place whether He Himself would come. Therefore said He unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest." You know, it is the most amazing thing. We know that our Lord is going to do that which He's pleased to do. That's the comfort that we have. So I said a moment ago, he said I'm to His people, He said, "I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you." He took 70, called 70 men, appointed them, and sent them. And He sent them to every city and place whether He Himself would come. They were going to hear the gospel. He was going to send these preachers, and they were going to hear the gospel of Christ, the gospel of God's grace in Christ. And the Lord was going to come there. He was going to come. He was going to send like John the Baptist, you know, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent these men. What blessed place these places were, that the gospel would be there. The gospel is not found everywhere. Where is it found? It's found wherever the Lord raises it up. That's where it's found. And where it's found, it's found there by grace. But He told them, He said, "The harvest truly is great, the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest." I thought about this. I'll read this to you. Ezekiel 36. We've looked at this passage many times. Remember when the Lord promised those things that He was going to do for His people? Ezekiel 36, He said, I'm going to multiply the fruit of the tree. I'm going to increase the field. You'll receive no more reproach of famine. All these things He was going to do for them. But He told him in verse 37, "Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock." The Lord is the Lord in heaven and earth. He is, as Nebuchadnezzar said, he doeth as He will in the army of heaven, among the inhabitants of the earth. And nobody stays His hand. Nobody can stop Him. But He told them, He said, "I want you to pray, and I want you to ask that God would send laborers into the harvest. Pray that God raise up preachers." Oh, in this day, according to His word, Lord, raise up Your word. Lord, have mercy. Lord, raise up the gospel. And He said in verse 3, "Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves." You know, man by nature thinks he's 10 feet tall and bulletproof. I can do it. I can handle it. But He said, "I send you forth as lambs, helpless." And a man, a woman called of God, knows in themselves. Without Him, I can do nothing. I struggle to pray. I struggle to read. I struggle to hear. Lord, help me. Help me. We're not tough. We need the great shepherd of the sheep. Lord, guide me. Keep me. Lord, direct me. Cause me to hear. I told you before. Faith cometh. Right now. I need the Lord to give me faith to believe right now. Just like yesterday's air. I've told you that before. Yesterday's air is gone. I needed that right now. I need to believe God right now. So we walk sent by faith. We believe it. Look at verse 4. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes. Salute no man by the way. We walk believing the Lord. Look at verse 5 to 9. Into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, if God's raised up a believer, if God by His sovereign grace has given a man, woman, a heart for him, if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall be turned to you again. In the same house remain eating, drinking such things as they give. The laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house, you know, look into... You ever notice how somebody, especially well, false preachers, I'll just cut to the chase. You know, somebody always feel led of the Lord. You know, I'm going to go to another place. You know, it's always a bigger place. It's always a better place. Always more money. He said, don't go house to house. And into whatsoever city you enter, they receive you. Eat such things as are set before you. Heal the sick that are therein. Say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. We've got one message. The King is coming. He's returned. He's going to return. He's coming back for His people. The Lord is going to receive His people unto His own. He said, you go to the city, you greet the people, be cordial. If the Lord has a people there, if there's a remnant, according to the election of grace, He said, stay there. Stay there. I'm sending you someplace where I'm going to come. Now, you don't know where it is, but you go. And this is what I want you to do. You go somewhere, if they're there, and there's a reception of the message, and you stay there and preach. Luke 10 to 15. But into whatsoever city you enter, and they received you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes, but it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. Let me tell you the seriousness of hearing the gospel of God's sovereign grace and not believing it. It's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be where God has sent the gospel and men refused it. You say, well, if men refuse it, it's because God didn't give them a heart to do so. As I've told you before, don't you lay your rebellion at God's feet. God Almighty does as He will. And man is a rebel in his heart. He's a liar. He came forth from his mother's womb preaching lies. Speaking lies. If God is pleased to show mercy, and if He has mercy and compassion on whomsoever He will, He has the right to do that. I'm going to look at Romans 9 in a few minutes. We're going to see that. But if he leaves a man to himself to do what that man wants to do, not here, I don't want to hear. If he does that, he does that because that's what he wants to do. And Almighty God has said, you go someplace, and if they won't hear you, he said, you wipe the dust off your feet. That dust in the day of judgment is going to rise up as a witness against him. He said, that dust is going to rise up. That dust is going to say, I was there. I heard the gospel preached here. You say, well, I don't know. It says, verse 11, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you, notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come unto you. Man, by nature, does as he will in rebellion. If God Almighty is pleased to save a man, it's going to be to the grace of God and the compassion of Almighty God. Refuse the gospel, it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than it will for those that heard the gospel and refused to hear it. Look at verse 16. He that heareth you, heareth me. He that despiseth you, despiseth me. He that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. The Lord said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I've thought a lot about that recently. I brought it up quite recently. How do they hear? They hear in their heart by faith. They hear His voice in creation, in providence. You see what God has done. What has He done in moving in providence into it? That's His voice. And especially in salvation. You see God Almighty call a man, a woman out of darkness. We hear the voice of the Savior. I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So to hear the gospel by faith is by the grace of God. To reject the gospel is to reject Christ and to reject the Father who sent Him. Well, look at verse 17. He sent them out, and obviously now they've returned. And it says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through Thy name. It's joyful to the servants of God to see the work of the Lord prosper. I want the Lord. I desire the Lord to save His people. I know that God has an elect. I know that He's going to save them. I know He is. I know He's going to call them out of darkness. Who knows? It may be today, Don. I don't know. But God's people want to see the work of the Lord prosper. They want to behold the Lord dethrone the devil in the hearts of sinners and regenerate His people. I want to see that. They with joy they said, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through Thy name. Lord, we preached in Your name. Lord, we've done that which You have told us to do in Your name. And the Lord said something unto them. He said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. They said, Lord, we saw Satan dethroned in the lives of some people. The Lord said, I saw Satan cast out of heaven. Look at this, Revelation 12. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 7 to 9. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. The Lord said, that which you've seen of Satan, devils, dethroned in the lives of people. He said, I saw him cast out of heaven. And he said in verse 19, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." These fiery darts of Satan that come against us. He said, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions over the power of the enemy. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of him. Don't be afraid of Satan. He's as a roaring lion. He's not going to hurt you. I've dethroned him. I'm the strong man that entered into his house and captive what he had captive. His elect born in rebellion in Adam's fall, and the Lord in mercy comes to him and enters into that strong man's house, one that's stronger than that strong man. This is no contest. This is not a... It's just not here like a boxing match and two evenly, you know, matched contenders. Oh, no, no. That's God's devil. He created him. I give unto you power. All power in heaven and earth is given unto the Son, that he should give eternal life to as many as the Father has given him. He works all these things after the counsel of his own will. He's ruling. He's reigning. I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing. John 15:5 says, I am the vine. You're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Nothing's going to hurt you. Nothing shall by any means. Romans 8:36 declares this truth. Here's the security of God's elect. Romans 8:36, as is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long, we're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. You say, well, I thought you said nothing was going to hurt us. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, the sanctified, the set apart ones in electing grace. If the Lord takes his people out of this world today, they're the winners. We're more than conquerors in him who loved us. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us, for I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, if I die or if I live for a while longer, or angels or principalities or powers, things present, things to come, what's coming? Whatever it is. I can tell you this. Height, depth, any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He said back in Luke 10, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And then he told them this. This is where I'm going to stay for a few minutes. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. Lord, subjects, devils are in subjection to us through your name. He said, don't let that be the foundation of your rejoicing. He said, I cast Satan out of heaven. The one that I made, I cast him out. I rule and reign. I give you power. Don't rejoice. But he said, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now I'm just going to just ask a few questions about this. Where are those names written? Rejoice because your names. And obviously, That's particular. Your names are written there. Where are they written? Where? Look at Revelation 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 to 15. Revelation 20. Where are our names written? Let God be true. Let's just see what God has to say about this. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them, as I've said before, that is to hide. There was a great white throne, and him that sat on the throne, whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and no place to hide. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. I read that, and I think, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, for Christ's sake. Lord, don't look on me and my works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, the Scripture reveals that there is a record. It's called the book of life. This is how much I know about the book of life. God said there's a book of life. The book of life, a record of all that Almighty God has eternally been pleased to bless in the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of life. God's book. And this book is the inscription of the assurance. This book, the assurance of salvation for all found written therein. Now listen to Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. Here's the surety. This Michael stands up, the great prince, standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people. It just so refreshing when you hear the Lord speak of His people. My people. Mine elect. At that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. There's a book. However it is, the Scriptures declare it to be, there's a book. There's only one that standeth for the children of thy people. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, our great surety, that stood up from all eternity for God's elect. And they're going to be delivered. He is the surety. I've told you, the one who's going to answer. What great comfort to know, being chosen in Christ. And I tried to deal with that a few weeks ago. What does that mean, be chosen in Christ? God Almighty is going to look to Christ to answer for all that He's been pleased to choose in Him. He has chosen us in Him from before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And God Almighty is going to look to the surety. He's going to look to the surety. And the surety is going to stand. And He's not going to fail. And He's going to finish the work. This is the will of God. That of all that He's given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up in the last day. And here is the assurance of God's elect, God's people. We have one that answers for us. And that is the beloved Son, and whom the Father is well pleased. You hear Him. You hear Him. This is it. Where are the names written? They're written in the book of life. All right, well, let me ask you this. When was it written? If there's a book, and there is a book, there's a book. Here again, I told you everything I know about it. The depth, I did. When was it written? Now, I grew up hearing, turn to Revelation 17:8. I grew up hearing that there was a recording angel. Now, I don't know where they got that term, but that's just what I heard. That there was a recording angel, and every time someone gave their heart to Jesus and exercised their free will, that a new entry was written in the book. New name, you know. And here's this certain date, and it's, you know, you write that name down right there. Well, let's see what God has to say about it. Revelation 17:8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. When was the book of life written? It's always been written. It has eternally been written. All that Almighty God has ever purposed to save have eternally been written in the book of life. They've always been, those names are always been there. There's never been a time. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2:13. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Here's what God has to say. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. How long has God been pleased to show mercy and compassion? He's chosen you from the beginning. When was that? From the beginning. When is that? In the beginning. Go back as far as you can go. And that ain't far enough. From the beginning. God hath from the beginning. Look at Romans 9. Romans 9. Here's the truth. How? The question is, where are they written? They're written in the book. How'd they get there, Jeff? Here it is. Romans 9. Romans 9. Verse 8 to 16. Romans 9, 8 to 16. That is, they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. How'd their names get there? God was pleased to put them there. He doeth as He will in the army of heaven. Here's my third question. What is the foundation or the reason? Well, I just almost touched on it just then. What is the reason? Turn to Ephesians 1, 5, and 6. What is the reason. Was the reason found in them? Was the reason found in those that were written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Did God look down and see that they would choose Him, so He chose them? Oh no, you go back and read Psalm 14:2. God did look, and He saw that there was none that did good. There was none that sought after God. None. There was none righteous. Not one. Not one. What was the foundation? What was the reason for their names being in the Book of Life? Ephesians 1:5-6. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. And you read these last few words and listen. According to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Why did God choose to show mercy to me? Because it pleased Him to do so. Look at Ephesians 2:4-7. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. Hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look here. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Brethren, we have nothing to glory in save the mercy and grace of God Almighty. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There was nothing in us that merited God showing mercy. He shows mercy to whomsoever He will. Here's another question. I'm going to wrap this up. How can I know that my name's written there? I think that's a pretty good question. I know there's a book. I know that it was written from before the foundation of the world. I know that. I know those that are found written in that book are not going to have anything to glory in but the grace of God. I know that. But I want to talk about me for a second. Ask myself this. Do I have any assurance of knowing that my name's written there? There's only one way that any sinner can have any assurance that his name is written in heaven. And here it is. Get a hold of this one. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this scripture. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Now, I'm going to qualify this just so we just may. You know, everybody can say, well, I've accepted Jesus. That's not what he's saying. I accepted the Lord as my. I exercised my. You know, I believe that Jesus Christ is. Let me tell you what he's saying. When we say that he that believeth on the Son, he that believeth on the Son, hath eternal life. I mean this. There is no other trust in anything or anyone, not even in yourself. Not your baptism, not tongues, not your free will, not your decision, not your Bible study, not your prayer, not walking down the aisle, not praying through the altar, not nothing. He that believeth on the Son. Lord, if I find myself with you, it's going to be because you were pleased to show mercy to me. And nothing that I did, or could do, was the determining factor. Lord, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is all of grace. Believing on the Son is to say that I believe that the Father chose to show mercy to me because it pleased Him. And that it was not by works of righteousness that I did. It was according to His mercy. His mercy. I believe on the Son. I believe that the Son died for me in particular. I laid down my life for the sheep. I believe on the Son, believing that the Holy Spirit effectually and powerfully called me out of spiritual darkness and unbelief and gave me a new heart that wasn't there before. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a new spirit. And made me willing in the day of His power and called me to Himself. And He gave me eyes to see and ears to hear that I didn't have before. Because I didn't have faith. It's given unto you to believe. The Lord told me, He said, rather you rejoice because your names are written in heaven. There's a book. And all written in the book are going to believe on the Son. Apart from anything, they'll have no confidence in their flesh. None. I'm not saved by my faith. I believe by faith that Almighty God saved me. But my faith didn't die for me. He gave me faith to believe it. But in closing, look at verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight. You know, brethren, we are in the hands of Him who's going to do as He will. Now, this is the God of this Bible. This little nobody that men are standing in pulpits and trying to proclaim, and trying to like make like He's a little puppet or something that just, you know, say He doesn't have any arms but your arms. That's baloney. He doesn't have any eyes but your eyes. Let me tell you something. If Almighty God gives you a heart to bow, cry out for mercy, it's because He's already shown you mercy. He's already given you a new heart to do that. Because if He hadn't given you a new heart, you'd have never done it. Lord, have mercy on me for Christ's sake.